some really sort of iconic records in the mid-2000s, in early 2010s. And Sunset Rubdown, as I've said, I keep calling a solo project of Spencer Krug, but they're a band in their own right. Like, they're a five-piece band that is just different. It's just a different band from Wolf Parade, that features Spencer as the primary songwriter. And he has a very distinctive voice. Some people might call it yelpy, I guess. Like, it's just very at times it goes all over the place. Okay. And it's very I don't know. I had this vision in my mind of Spencer Krug and with Sunset Rubdown specifically as this, like, and this is just my mental picture of him as like a goblin who sits in like a high tower, or like a goblin wizard in this tower with a weird keyboard who's just like writing these weird fun different songs.
Are there a lot of synths in it?
A lot of synths, a lot of
I see it.
All sorts of stuff. And I
like a mythical figure.
Yeah, and the show didn't really, like, seeing them in person didn't do anything to change my perception. You know, he plays the keyboards for most of it. He plays guitar sometimes, but when he's sitting at the keyboard, he's got a stool and he's sitting on it with like one leg folded underneath him, and wow, he's like kicking out the other leg, doing weird things while he's playing the keyboard, and just, yeah, kind of.
Does he have a long flowing white beard?
No, that was the only thing. I think he could if he really like dedicated himself to it, but
like Rick Rubin.
Yeah, but no, he was mostly clean shaven, maybe a little bit of stubble.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really great to see them, especially because I was supposed to originally see them like a month ago, but I can't remember what the date was. But it was when there was like a really bad windstorm, and they their ferry couldn't make it from Victoria to Vancouver.
Okay.
So we went out for dinner with some friends before the concert, and we're all ready to go, and we walked up to the venue, and it was dark. And there was no signs or anything, and we're like, what is going on? We checked online, and the band was like, we can't make it. Oh,
they
no.
postponed it.
So they postponed it, and we got our, tickets are honored and everything, no problem. But it was nice to be able to gather and see that. So I've talked about my goblin wizard friend Spencer Krug and his music. I'll give you a little bit of an earful of it. This is from their second album, Random Spirit Lover. That was the other thing I was going to say, is that contrary to your experience at the JID and Cimino show, where there was all sorts of new material, Sunset Rubdown played two new songs, one of which was an old song that was never released.
And like a leak?
Yeah, just like a B-side or whatever, right, that they had finally been like, okay, now that we're reunited, we'll release this while we work on
feeding
writing
fans
and recording a new song. And then they played a new song, which was good. But it was basically 2 hours of just straight fan service, all the hits, greatest hits.
Nice.
And so we heard this song, among others, but this song from their second album, Random Spirit Lover. This one is called The Mending of the Gown.
hearts to hands. It's a slippery slope.
Research shows that walking through a forest for just 15 minutes can lower symptoms of anxiety and depression and boost positive moods. What better way to welcome spring than by spending time among the trees? As a national nonprofit organization, Tree Canada works to improve the lives of Canadians by planting and nurturing trees in communities across the country. They support individuals, local groups, businesses, and municipalities to increase tree cover and help fight climate change. Join Tree Canada in growing better places to live by visiting treecanada.ca.
Hey, welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You just heard The Mending of the Gown by Sunset Rubdown from the album Random Spirit Lover. There's some sort of pseudo yodely stuff in there, some piano, some Daniel, you mentioned like Freddie Mercury a little bit on the vocals, just all over the place.
Yeah, instrumentals as well.
Yeah,
it sounded like Freddie Mercury. I could definitely see that wizard in a castle vibe for sure. I could see him like going crazy on the NPC, and then there's lightning striking.
Exactly.
There's a dragon guarding the entrance. I can see it.
Well, hopefully, I mean, I definitely planted the seeds there. So, but I'm glad that vision blossomed in you during that song.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to tell you before we came back that, you know, before that show, I had really thought of Sunset Rubdown as this sort of like obscure, weird band that not many people listen to, that was sort of like my own like weird thing that I liked, and like nobody else likes that. But it was really cool to go to the show and then just be in a room full of like a few hundred people who all mm-hmm. who all had that feeling, maybe, or I mean, maybe other people expected it to be that full, but I don't know that I necessarily thought that it would be sold out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the band also kind of had that experience because I mentioned the show was rescheduled. It was actually initially planned to be at a venue called the Fox Theater. It ended up at the Rickshaw.
Big theater?
The Fox is actually pretty small.
Okay.
It actually used to be an old porno theater that they converted into a live music venue. Yeah, because I guess people aren't going to adult theaters anymore, right? So it's, you know, the capacity is, I don't know, maybe half or a quarter of what the Rickshaw's is.
Mm.
They
sold out the Rickshaw?
Yeah. I mean, they sold out the Fox so aggressively and quickly that they moved it to another venue, the Biltmore, and then they sold that out so quickly they moved it to an even bigger venue.
Okay.
So I think that was really exciting to see that sort of like support for a band that I really liked a lot when I was in university, and then getting ready for this show. You know, it's a time-honored tradition to just binge the artist's discography in the weeks leading up to the show, so that you know everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Like you did mention they were away for 10 years,
something
like that. So I think over those 10 years, something like Spotify would definitely get people onto
that
kind of music.
And, you know, the age of the crowd was definitely a lot of people my age, you know, in their mid-late 30s into their 40s. So, there weren't a ton of fresh fans. Let's put it that way. There were some, but it was definitely more of a legacy thing. But yeah, it was really cool to see. Speaking of what I was going to say is that during that intensive listening period, I think I came away liking the music more than I ever did.
Nice.
Just coming back to him being like, oh yeah, like I like this. Oh, I like this song. Oh, this song's next. Like oh wow, like. Just really being not, I had not recognized how much I liked the music until I came back to it. So that was really cool.
By the way, Sunset Rubdown sounds like a cocktail of some kind.
Oh, for sure.
Like one with a tequila and some citrus, some whiskey. Yeah.
For sure. Something like smoky and colorful.
For sure.
Good call there, for sure. So I mentioned that show was supposed to be at the Fox. The other show I ended up going to this week was at the Fox, which is just a couple blocks away from my house. There are a lot of venues near my house, I guess. Mount Pleasant. So close to downtown. All the downtown venues are, I guess, like, I don't know, like 15 minutes on the train away. So pretty close also. I guess I should go to more of them and stop being like, oh, too many concerts. What a problem.
That's how you went to two in a week.
Yeah, right, exactly. I went to two in a week, and I think I traveled a total of like 2 kilometers.
Lucky.
The show on Friday was a friend and former coworker of mine, Madeline Reed, who I worked with at a donut shop. And at that point, she was working on music, and I stopped working there at the beginning of the pandemic, and she's been working on her debut album since then. And she, despite this being her first album, also at least nearly sold out the Fox Theater. That place was crammed. There were almost 200 people in there, I want to say. Just loving the music, too. She played the whole album, Concrete Country, and was met with rapturous applause and reception. Everyone very, very impressed. And, you know, it's a very... I don't know. Are you familiar with the concept of friend rock?
Friend rock. I'm not sure.
So it's the idea that, you know, like your friend's band or your friend's, if your friend's an artist, that like you as their friend are going to have maybe a colored perception of their music. You're going to like it more because they're your friends, right? And so it can be deceptive to like play a show and everybody loves it, but you know, the next time you play, you only manage to get like 80% of your friends to come out. So the reception is a little less good. Right. But if the music is good and stands on its own, then it's just good and it's sustained. So I really got the feeling during this show that, and personally, I was blown away by the quality of the songwriting and the performances. So I want to share that with you, Daniel, and with the rest of you out there listening. So we're going to take a bit of another right or left turn in terms of the kind of music we're playing. We played some pop, we played some hip hop, we played weird prog indie, and now we're going to play some alternative country. This is, well, actually, maybe the genre should be Concrete Country, because that's the album and the name of the song we're going to play by Madeline Reed, Concrete Country.
Like a child, the skyline's grinning silhouette, chews as much as it can get. The highway begins its crawl through the maze of urban sprawl, pausing once for an ambulance howl, then carrying forth in a rubber. Yeah.
What Does Waiting Mean by Only a Visitor here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. It's me, Jesse, here with Daniel. Chatting about music this hour, it seems like. That's been our main focus of conversation. You had a thought about genre you wanted to share.
Yeah, genres and music genres, how, I mean, they're arbitrary.
Well, yeah.
Like, it definitely helps to know what direction to look in when you're looking for music that you like, music that's like other music you've heard that you like. But in the end, it's arbitrary because we were just talking about the songs that played now. Mm-hmm. The first one was definitely had country to it, but the second one wasn't very country from the same artist.
Different artist.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I mean, there's almost more alike than difference between the two artists, right? Like they're both really focused on vocals, and particularly like vocals with harmonies in them. Relatively, like, most of the instrumentation is going to either highlight or sort of counterpoint those elements. And yet two completely different genres, right? Mm-hmm. Like you would not necessarily find them side by side in the record store.
Yeah. That focus on the vocals and the there's sort of like a serene atmosphere to it, and there isn't so much going on instrumentally, so there can be like really minimal stuff. And so the bass, like you mentioned, the bass, when it comes in, you definitely hear it, you feel the reverberation, and it's like it adds to that atmosphere without doing too much.
And it's interesting because, you know, genre is one of the tools that we use to categorize music, right? Mm-hmm. Because broadly as humans, we love to categorize things, and it helps us understand the world. But you can also, you know, categorize music by how it makes you feel, or the mood, or the tempo, or the instrumentation, or all these other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, to some extent, genre is like it speaks to all of those different things, right? But it's always an imperfect science, as I'm sure you know, when you're writing reviews for the CJSF music library, like that's something you gotta sort of manage each time.
Because I tried to describe like the instruments in there, how they, you know, the interplay between them, and that's what I tried to describe. And then maybe later say a little bit about how I feel personally about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to describe kind of the design, the objective design therein, before considering how it might feel to me, because it just might not be specifically for me. But I'm sure there's someone out there who will love it like, more than I ever will. So it's like, yeah, I tried to describe exactly what's in it first, and then how I felt about it.
And then I try and
imagine the kind of person who would like it, and you know, mention that it might be for them.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're running out of time here, but how would you describe the internet then? We're going to play as much of the track Hold On as we can fit.
Yeah, the internet, I love the bass. I love Steve Lacy. He's, the main bass guy for the internet. I don't know if they're still together, but I love that whole like L.A., California type of funk sound. They make a lot of songs like that, so I'm always, you know, trying to listen to the internet. Any new music that comes out, I'm on it. So,
cool. All right, this is Hold On by the Internet. I'm Jesse. That's Daniel. We've been here all hour. And we'll see you next time.
Later.
Hold On till then.
Bye.